You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, midweek edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello and welcome to this midweek edition of The Punt, William Hill's football podcast. And we're getting very much to the business end of this season's Premier League. Three televised games coming up in amongst a whole batch of fixtures this week. In the midweek, my name's John Gibby, joined by Mark Walton. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. John, how are you?
I'm very, very good indeed. Looking forward to the excitement. It's good that we've got, certainly in terms of relegation, we've got an exciting end to a Premier League season rather than one where we get to this sort of bit of double fixtures and all of that, and it's all sort of done and dusted and we can put our feet up.
Yeah, the bottom end's quite interesting, isn't it? Top end's pretty much done and dusted, isn't it? We've got
slight question over Champions League qualification.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea have sneaked back into that, haven't they? They can now press Spurs for fourth. I think Manchester United have pretty much got second place sewn up. So the top end of things isn't going to be all that exciting. But bottom end, we've seen Stoke get relegated at the weekend. They are now gone. West Brom clinging on by the skin of their teeth with the results against Tottenham, of course. And Swansea and Southampton, who actually play each other this midweek, right embroiled in that as well. So very interesting down the bottom end of the table.
And we'll start with that game between Swansea and Southampton taking place on Tuesday. And it's very much, to use that old cliche, a relegation six-pointer, this one, Mark. They are right next to each other in the table. Swansea just in the relegation places and Southampton just above in 17th place. They're both on 33 points. And going into this one, Swansea 11-5. Draw is also 11-5 and Southampton are 7-5. What way do you see this one going?
Yeah, it's very tight, isn't it? As you say, a good old-fashioned relegation six-pointer. Southampton 17th in the league, Swansea are 18th, both on 33 points after 36 games. But the Saints have a much better goal difference, minus 19 for Southampton, Swansea minus 26. So this is, I was going to say, slightly more important for Swansea. It's important for both of them, of course. But Swansea won't get away with a draw, whereas Southampton can just about get away with a draw. The Swansea bandwagon has kind of stopped, hasn't it? When Carlos Carvajal came in, they went on a real fine run of form. They got out of the relegation zone. I think that's just losing its effect now, and they're struggling. They're on the second longest winless run in the Premier League. The only team with a worse winless run at the moment are Stoke City, and they're plummeted down into the relegation zone. I think things are going badly wrong for Swansea at the wrong time. I didn't think Mark Hughes had had that much of an impact when he came in at Southampton, but they are just starting to turn that corner. They've got 4 points out of their last two games. Maybe the Mark Hughes effect is just starting to kick in now. And Southampton have a very good record at Swansea as well. They've lost just one of their five Premier League visits to the Liberty Stadium, and they kept four clean sheets in that spell as well. If I were to lean either way, I'd say Southampton would probably be the bet for me here. But I think it could be one of those games where they're that desperate not to mess up that they don't really go forward either. And I think it could end up playing out as a draw. 11-5 for the draw. I think whilst neither side would really be particularly happy with it, I think that might be the eventual outcome.
It might be what ends up happening, because potentially a cagey affair on the cards with both teams not wanting to concede, of course, at this critical moment in the season. Yeah, Swansea, when Carvajal first came in, as you said, they were absolutely flying to the extent that I cashed out on my Swansea to be relegated bet for a very, very small profit, which I'm now starting to regret. But when you look at recent form as well, you know, you mentioned Swansea's losing run, but Southampton, you know, they're unbeaten in their last three, which, okay, it's two draws and a win, but for a team that's potentially looking at relegation from the Premier League, that very much puts them on the front foot.
Mm. It does, and I think Swansea just running out of ideas now, and once that feel good factor goes around the club and it starts to get a little bit tense and a bit touchy, it's very hard to reverse that, especially at this stage of the season. Whereas I think Southampton are just about getting going at the right time. They've got a player as well in Dusan Tadic, who's, you know, he's probably been Southampton's best player for quite a while now, and he's stepped up as well with the goals. He scored against Chelsea, in the middle of April, and he scored a couple of goals in their victory over Bournemouth. He's not a bad price to score any time. He's 12-5. I think he's one of the players that's just taking this a little bit by the scruff of the neck now and trying to keep Southampton in the Premier League. So if I was looking for a goal scorer, I'd be looking at him. Like I say, if I were to lean either way, I would probably just about think Southampton might edge it, but I think the draw is probably the most likely outcome on Tuesday night, and that we'll see both teams kind of leave the field thinking, maybe missed a chance to stay up there. But
is draw the main bet of the match then?
I think so, yeah. I just think it's going to be so tight and so cagey that I think that will probably end up being the situation. And then they'll both be sat on 34 points in the Premier League, and therefore there'd be 3 points clear, the pair of them, of West Brom. And given Southampton's better goal difference than West Brom, that would almost pretty much mathematically consign West Brom to second tier football next year. It's tight, isn't it, down there? It's very
tight.
It is.
And if you're looking for a tight, low scoring match, you talked about Tadic. If you want to boost that price a little bit with a little bit of sneaky tactics.
Yes.
If you think it's going to be a low scoring affair, first or last, he's 7-2.
Yes.
So say there's two goals in the game.
Yeah.
Well, then it doesn't matter, does it? Because he must have scored first or last.
Yes. There we go. Yeah. So see what you've done there. Yeah.
Little tactics there on your goal scorer.
Well done.
I have all the best betting advice. but the draw's the main bet.
Yes, it
fantastic.
Is, yeah.
Right, so that's the first game this week, and we move now on to the televised action on Wednesday. There's four games in all on Wednesday, but the televised match sees Chelsea take on Huddersfield, and it's been a very up and down season for Huddersfield, of course, but they've done well. Their first season in the Premier League, of course, and Chelsea probably underperformed based on what they would have wanted to achieve as the defending champions, but they're still in with a chance of Champions League qualification, as we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. Chelsea are 6-1 on, 1-6 for this tie. The draw is then 7-1, Huddersfield 16-1. Not really a tie, it's in the league, but you know what I mean. Mark?
Yes. Chelsea are criminally short, really, to be fair. 1-6 is very, very short about a side that haven't really impressed all the way through the season. They've maybe hit form a little bit now towards the end of the year. 5 straight wins in all competitions, 6 games unbeaten. And out of nowhere, I mean, if you'd asked me 3 weeks ago whether Chelsea would be getting anywhere near Champions League football again this season, I would have said absolutely no chance. And suddenly they're right back in the mix. Huddersfield, they earned a big point, didn't they, against the champions Manchester City to bolster their chances of staying up. 3 points clear of the relegation zone with 2 games to go. Probably safe now. Well done to Huddersfield, because, you know, they've got the in my opinion, probably the weakest squad in the Premier League. So to stay up, they've done really well.
I'll tell you what I didn't like, actually, was that nobody... I know they had the weakest squad, and I know they came up through the playoffs for a penalty shootout and all of this, but what I didn't like was that nobody gave them a chance at all from the beginning of the season. All the way through. They were basically mid-table at one stage, and people were saying, I still think Huddersfield are going to go down. Up to about 2 weeks ago, they were saying, oh, look at the matches they've got at the end of the season. Huddersfield are going to go down. Are people finally going to keep the faith in Huddersfield now in the West Yorkshire outfit, Mark, that they can secure a second season in the Premier League?
Well, when you look at the running...
You're about to tell me that they're going to go down.
When you look at the running, nobody would have given them any chance of getting anything at the Etihad. So that's the big swinger, really, isn't it? Because I don't think they get anything out of Chelsea. I think they'll get beat by Arsenal, although Arsenal aren't very good away, so maybe. And Huddersfield's form at home has been one of the reasons why they are where they are.
And Man City didn't have anything to play for because they've won the league. And actually, Huddersfield's performances against the bigger clubs have actually been pretty good. They beat Man United earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm. But it's that goal difference, isn't it? Minus 29.
Yeah, that's true.
Minus 29 goals. That could be the one thing that scuppers them. If they lose these final two games, and by some miracle Southampton and Swansea both win a game apiece, then that would see Huddersfield go down due to the goal difference. Well, you know, something like that anyway. They have the second worst goal difference in the Premier League. Only Stoke have a worse one. And they have failed to score in 20. That's 20 of their 36 games. Goals are a real problem for Huddersfield. And they've also drawn a blank in 13 away games, which is a Premier League joint record. I think they draw a blank here as well. They drew a blank at City and got a point. I think they'll draw a blank here, but they won't get a point. I think they get beat. So bad news if you're a Huddersfield fan, unfortunately, in terms of what I think might happen.
Yeah, bad news. Mark Watner's crystal ball have forecast a defeat at the hands of Chelsea.
Yes,
at Stamford Bridge. Well, I missed it, Mac.
You see some stats for these games as well. You read through them, and Yorkshire sides at Stamford Bridge. That's a stat that I read. It's a very, very poor record. Last team to win at Stamford Bridge from Yorkshire was Leeds many years ago.
Would you read too much into that?
Well, no, it's just one of those.
You're supposed to be the proud Yorkshireman around this table, and I'm telling you that's nonsense.
Yeah. Well, how many Yorkshire teams will have gone to Stamford Bridge recently? It's a skewed stat, I suppose. But I just thought it was, just mention it.
It is interesting.
The London Yorkshire divide has never been bigger. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I just threw that in there as well. But Chelsea win this. He's just trying to find a way to back Chelsea that isn't 1-6. I suppose is the way in. So I wouldn't go matched result on both teams to score because I don't think Huddersfield score. So you'd be looking at Chelsea to win to nil. And you can also look at your goal scorers as well. If Olivier Giroud starts, I think he's worth a look. He's 3-4 to score any time. He is a stat for you. Since his Premier League debut back in August 2012, Olivier Giroud has scored more headed goals than any other player in the competition.
I'm not necessarily shocked by that.
No.
It's a good stat. It's a good stat. What are they to win to nil, Chelsea? Have you got the price there?
Because I'm just trying to find
it. I imagine it must be quite short. If there's sixes on in the 90-minute market.
Yeah. Well, it'll still be short, yes. To win to nil, 8-11, but it's much more appealing than 1-6. So, yeah. I'm just trying to see if there's any Giroud to score with a header, because we sometimes have those kind of bets on the old markets there.
And you should be able to request that as a Your Odds as well.
You can, yes, indeed. Hashtag Your Odds to @WilliamHill on Twitter. And they will price that up for you. I can't actually find it on the website at the moment, but there you go. That's a suggestion for Your Odds, for anybody who wants a suggestion for Your Odds.
There you go. Now you know. Huddersfield probably going to lose to nil. You've got a Your Odds selection. You've got it all here on the midweek punt. When we're looking at Chelsea against Huddersfield, Mark, and we're thinking about a main selection, what would the main selection be?
Trying to find value. Well, Giroud and a Chelsea win is 4-5. If he starts the game, obviously check the team news. I think that's a player. Chelsea to win to nil, 8-11. That's not bad. I don't mind that either. In fact, that might be the one that I end up playing as the main bet. Anything basically pro Chelsea with Huddersfield getting shut out. I know they're fighting for their lives, but that doesn't suddenly make you a team that's twice as capable, is it? I know you play above yourself in those situations, but I think Chelsea, with the added carrot dangled in front of them, Champions League football, perhaps they will actually see out the season more strongly than it looked like they were going to.
Okay, interesting. Little stat for you here, right? Chelsea in the Premier League this season have been drawing 15 games at half-time. They've been winning 16 games at half-time, and they've only been losing 5 games at half-time. With that in mind, I wonder if a little draw Chelsea double result, 16-5... could be a good bet. If you think Huddersfield can see them off for the first 45, obviously Chelsea then kick on and fired up at half time by Conte, with all that respect he has in the dressing room, and go on to win the second half. 16-5, I think.
I sense a bit of sarcasm there in the respect in the dressing room thing.
Allegedly is all I'm saying. Like, allegedly, you know, I can't say anything that's going to get me into trouble. But Chelsea against Huddersfield. It's the televised game on the Wednesday.
There is a negative to that stat that you've thrown.
Have I just said that? You've looked it up straight away.
I'm just seeing if it would fit. But in terms of Chelsea games, they were leading at halftime against Burnley. They were leading at halftime against Swansea and against Liverpool quite recently. So they have been getting out of the blocks relatively quickly.
I was painting an overall picture, but I know you got some enjoyment there out of.
It wasn't in a malicious way, John. It was just having a look.
Just in the interest of balance.
Yes.
Right. Excellent. Chelsea versus Huddersfield is the televised game this week in the Premier League on Wednesday, and we move ahead now to the third and final game televised this week, and that's the only game on Thursday. That's West Ham against Man United. and it's a 7:45 kickoff. And taking a quick look at the prices for this one, a West Ham 7-2 to win this one, the draw 14-5, and Man United odds on, but only narrowly odds on, at 4-5. That's slightly big for Man United, perhaps, Mark?
Maybe, yeah. But the way they performed against Brighton suggests that Manchester United aren't all that focused on their Premier League running, I don't think. They are pretty much guaranteed to finish second, aren't they? Second is a big thing for Jose Mourinho.
I think they are guaranteed to finish second now.
Can Spurs catch them on beat them on goal difference?
I think they'd need a massive swing at the goal difference, I think. I'm right in saying. You can tell we've done our preparation, can't you, listeners? But I think Spurs need a massive, unlikely swing at the goal difference to...
Well, yeah, the three goals behind in terms of goal difference.
Is that only three?
Only three, yeah. Okay. And the 6 points behind them. So if they win both of their games and Manchester United lose both of them...
Less unfeasible, I thought.
Yeah, that goal difference would swing enough to see them get second. But in all seriousness, that's not going to happen, is it? Manchester United aren't going to lose their final two games, and therefore they will finish second in the Premier League. Therefore, their attention is going to be on the cup final. Romelu Lukaku's hoping to be back for the cup final, and that's added reason, if you like, for Rashford and Martial and the likes of those players to try and state some kind of claim to challenge for a starting berth in that final. Mourinho was quite unhappy with them, I believe, after the Brighton game. If you watch his press conference, he all but wanted to say he wasn't impressed with them, but he couldn't, if you know what I mean. Like,
he implied that they'd gotten worse recently.
And I think he had a point. They looked flat, didn't they? They only managed three shots on target all game against Brighton. For a Manchester United side, simply not good enough.
I'll tell you what, Mark, if only there was some sort of member of staff at Manchester United that was there to try and get the best out of the players in the squad and you know, coach them to be their very best. If only they had that, then Jose Mourinho would be happier.
That's some forward thinking right there, yeah. I can't believe you've come up with that. That's genius. But I think they win this. I think 4-5 is appealing enough for them because West Ham are safe after that victory against Leicester at the weekend. It kind of just cemented their place in the Premier League for beyond all doubt. And because Manchester United, this is one of those games where you try and give it a reason to back something and a big sell for, you know, or you try and make it seem some way interesting. But in all seriousness, this is a nothing game, really, when it boils down to it. David Moyes welcomes his former club to the London Stadium. He'll want to get a one over on his old side. But West Ham have lost 13 of their last 18 Premier League games against Manchester United. They don't do well against the Red Devils. And Jose Mourinho has never, ever lost a Premier League meeting with David Moyes. They've met 10 times in the Premier League. Mourinho's teams have won 7 of them and drawn 3. He's never lost to David Moyes. And we saw West Ham against City the other week, and they just didn't fancy it, did they? I think they'd accepted defeat before City turned up. I know this is not Manchester City, but I think there's that in the West Ham players. Somewhere.
So it's like the Yorkshire stat again. It's another team from Manchester. Manchester teams have got a great record.
Yes, but what I'm saying is they're not as good as Man City. We know that.
Yeah.
But I think there's that in West Ham that they will just maybe subconsciously just chuck it in a little bit.
Send Salford to the London Stadium. They've got every chance.
You're missing the point then.
I know. So if we're looking at a main selection for...
Man United 4-5.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah, it's just a nice price, isn't it? I mean, Mourinho will be looking for a response from those players so maybe we'll see Rashford play better or Martial, or if Sanchez starts, he will be probably the focal point of the attack. He's 7-4, Sanchez, by the way, if he starts. I quite like the look of that for him to score any time, although he's been pretty disappointing for Manchester United, hasn't he, since he joined. Paul Pogba's had a hit and miss season. These players now need to turn it on to be in the forefront of Jose Mourinho's mind for that cup final. And I don't know what to make of Pogba. Sometimes he looks genius and sometimes he just looks...
He's just really in and out, isn't he? And he's been that way for some time now. But the worst thing is that he'll have a moment of brilliance and then he'll act like this is what happens every week. And it's like...
Start dabbing everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
God's sake, Paul. Anyway, main selection, Manchester United, 4-5.
Yeah, it's just a decent price, isn't it? Put that in any of your accounts, you're going to almost double your returns.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fantastic. Well, there's lots of great Premier League football on the way this week. And we've also, got the games we didn't mention, which are available for betting on the William Hill website or on the app. Your odds as well. on the Premier League action to come. There'll be enhanced odds on the website. Plenty of angles in to this week's Premier League. And there'll be more Premier League chat on the punt this weekend when we'll be looking ahead to the weekend's fixtures. But so thanks for tuning in to this midweek edition. And we'll see you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.